Welcome to the Hey Boomer podcast, the show that inspires listeners to know that they are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. Each week, we have extraordinary guests, thought leaders, and active, engaged people who share their insights with us. This week's show is about mentorship and reverse mentorship, particularly with international students. My guest this week is Laura O'Connell.
Hello, Hey Boomer listeners. Today marks the 30th episode of Hey Boomer. I had no idea 7 months ago where Hey Boomer would go. And this has certainly been a journey of trusting the process to evolve. There's obviously a hunger for connection, for community, with inspiring, thoughtful people. And we would not have made it this far without that desire to meet all of the amazing people we've had. Being the host of Hey Boomer has renewed my sense of purpose to inspire others by hearing from thought leaders and other active adults. And I hope it has also given you some new ideas and fresh perspectives. I'm excited about where we're going, and I am looking forward to the next 7 months. Thank you, Joyce, for your congratulations. I want to share an opportunity with you that is being offered at a discount to all the Hey Boomer listeners today. My friend, Jan Zacharias, is offering a 6-week course called A Shot of Resilience. A Shot of Resilience was born out of the COVID pandemic, where resilience has become an increasingly necessary tool. Whether you've lost someone close to you, you're reinventing your work, you've planned or replanned a special event like a wedding or other significant event, in 2020, unexpected change has become the new normal. Jan developed A Shot of Resilience as an experiential 6-week workshop designed to help you build resilience and manage the changes that are impacting our lives now. And she's developed a roadmap to resilience that is easy to follow, provides concrete steps, and gives you simple techniques for managing change and loss. Plus, you experience all of this with the support of like-minded peers, which I understand from my interactions with Jan, that's really been a big plus to her previous cohorts of this course. A Shot of Resilience starts this Wednesday, November 11th, and will meet every Wednesday from 12 to 1 for 6 weeks. Sessions will be held on Zoom, and you can register for this by emailing Jan or calling her. And I told you she's offering a special for the Hey Boomer audience. The cost for this course is normally $297. Jan's offering an early bird special, $100 off the tuition. And all you have to do is call her or go on the Hey Boomer Facebook page. There's a post from Jan where you can go to the website and register, and you enter the word early bird, all one word in caps, to get the $100 off. I know it's going to be a great course. So if you are ready to build your resilience and renew a sense of normalcy, I would encourage you to register for A Shot of Resilience today. I also want to tell you about a live community event that we are planning, and I am planning it with the help of a couple of our Hey Boomer community members. So excited. So one of my dreams when I started Hey Boomer was that we would be bringing live events all over the country to bring boomers together and build a community. Well, because of the pandemic, we can't meet in person, but we can still meet and connect and have fun. And so we are planning a virtual New Year's Eve party. It's going to be so much fun. So mark your calendars, January 31st, starting at 8 o'clock. More information to follow. But I'm excited about it. Like I said, I have a couple of the other boomers in our community helping me, and I will be getting out more details soon. And just one final thing before I bring our guest on. You know, I love seeing you all commenting. I see I'm laughing because Rob said, 30th episode, I said, Rob says, 30, you don't look a day over 29. Thank you, Rob. and yes, Beth, December 31st, we will be doing it on New Year's Eve. So like I said, keep commenting, keep encouraging, ask questions, and we are going to get into our discussion. So let me bring Laura on. Hello, Miss Laura.
Hi, Wendy. How are you today?
I am great. I'm so glad you decided to join us and agreed to join us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So let me tell everybody a little bit about you.
Okay.
Laura O'Connell has worked both in-house and in a variety of consulting areas. She has an experience profile in global human resources and operations. She has managed international joint ventures, expatriate assignments, mergers and acquisitions, and full lifecycle recruiting. Laura uses her global background to coach international students and candidates, and her experience includes intercultural training and English instruction. She helps business and individuals land and brand new markets or new seasons of life, and is a passionate and advocate of reverse mentorship. Laura holds a Master's of Science in Global Human Resource Management from the University of Liverpool. And we are going to talk about your passion about reverse mentorship today.
Great. I always like to talk about that.
So I am excited to get into this. But first, if you can just fill in a little bit more of your journey, your professional journey, because it's pretty interesting too, what took you on this path.
Sure, I'll be brief on that. But I started my career on the Microsoft campus in Redmond, Washington. And that's when I first began working with internationals. So I was hiring a lot of people with the recruiting team to bring them to the US on assignments. And I just started working with younger people too, who were coming in. They were new to the US. They had no idea about the culture other than what they'd seen on TV. And so we had to work through some of those cross-cultural adjustments, but it was very worthwhile for me. And then I managed some joint ventures, as you said, and some new office openings, one in Singapore that we worked on specifically. So that's a bit about my background. And I just enjoy working with people from all over the world.
And so you started your own business. Was that right after you left Microsoft?
No, that was years later. I ventured into manufacturing with an organization. So that was a fun transition between tech and manufacturing, because it's so far apart. But it was a great learning experience. And then I decided to think about what I wanted to do next. I took some time off after I left my last organization. And I thought I would like to start my own business because I was positioned to help business and individuals. And I wanted to capitalize on that and hopefully impact some other people.
And so you used your HR experience, and you use that a lot now, because I have to tell you, she's a very busy lady. Sometimes it's hard to get with her because she's got all these clients that she's helping with HR. So how has your work as an entrepreneur evolved over time since you started it?
Oh, it's always evolving, I feel. I started out thinking I would do HR consulting, recruiting, and work with larger organizations because of my global background. But what I discovered is there's a lot of startup and even companies that have been in business for a while who need HR guidance. And maybe they can't afford a full-time HR manager or don't prioritize that. And so I step in to fill that gap and help them with a variety of things. But that was my original intention, which I'm still doing. But I carried it forward to start helping students because I have two sons and, you know, I was hearing about their experiences with their university career centers and what they perceived to be some things that were missing. And then my work with international students reinforced that because they have special needs, I would say, that aren't fully being addressed by the universities. So I wanted to step in and try to help.
So that's a perfect marriage of the work that you've been doing with internationals initially in your career, and now you're helping the students. So how are you finding the students, Laura?
I started out as a community volunteer, but since then I started a social media group for international students. And I've had students from other schools come to me. I started with Clemson students at ICAR campus because I live very close to ICAR. And then I work with students on main campus as well. And then I have a long-standing international network. So I just get referred to these different students. And we talk about, even before they're coming over now, we talk about the decision process, what they need to consider, our political climate. What does that look like now?
So do you have like a format that you go through with people before they decide to come here?
Yeah. So in my background, we had something called a pre-decision trip at Microsoft and at other places I worked. And people would gather all the information before deciding to come on an international assignment. And we would use assessments as well to check for suitability. So in this case, I'm not using an assessment yet, but we are talking through several points to help them make decisions. Of course, with the pandemic, a lot of things have been put on hold.
So can you give me an example? Like how is it? Let me step back a minute. All right. So we've had children that go to college and, you know, you go through, do you want a big school or a small school? Do you want to study, you know, medicine, or do you want to study accounting? Do you want a big city or a smaller town? How is it different than what you would discuss with an international student?
It's different because there are practical considerations depending where they choose to go to school. Do they need a car? Do they know how to drive? Mm-hmm. Have they factored that expense in and the time it takes to learn that? And, you know, also you have to purchase insurance and you have accessibility to get around town, and how important are those things to you? And I always tell them to think about their target industry. Where's the heartbeat of that industry? Mm-hmm. So for a lot of my student friends, it's in Michigan. They're automotive students and they're working on autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles. So do you want to live in Michigan? Do you want to be based there? Do you understand how cold it is? There's so much we talk about, and health insurance and the cost of that. I had a student who was in an accident and we had to work through a lot of things. I went to the hospital with him and was there for surgery and physical therapy. So there are a lot of considerations that come into play when you're this far from home.
Yeah. So you kind of become surrogate mom to some of them, I would think.
In a way. Yeah.
Okay. So now they're here, uh-huh, and you're working with them as they're going through their classes or preparing for interviews. What does that look like?
It's kind of a multi-step process because when they first arrive, we're just trying to get furniture for their apartments and we're moving them in and helping them get set up. And then once they're settled, we start working on other things, you know, the driving. A lot of them have driver's licenses. They come here so they can use those for a while. But I do some driving lessons too. So you might see me zipping around town with students in my car. They're driving and I'm hanging on to the dashboard. It's not that bad, but but I need to make sure that they're prepared for their driver's test here in the U.S. because our style is different. Mm-hmm. And so once we get past that, then we start talking later about resumes for the U.S. market. Is your resume optimized for that? Is it going to pick up the keywords that the ATS is looking for? Are you ready?
Say what ATS is for our audience.
Applicant tracking system. So when you apply online, you know, it's the ATS will scan the resume for a match with the requirements of the position. So my goal is to make sure that they have a US-based resume and they understand what that looks like. And then we get into interview strategy and we talk about communications and follow-up. And it's just this whole process to get them as prepared as possible.
So how many students are you typically mentoring during a typical semester?
Well, it varies because I have a group now, so I can reach a lot of people on social media and share information. You know, we talk about creative ways to look for jobs. We talk about how to structure your communication to sell yourself, because that's something that some cultures aren't comfortable with. They're used to recruiters coming to them and recruiting them, not that they have to brand and sell themselves to a company.
Hmm. So you do some like online tutoring, is that what you're saying?
Yes. I work online. I work in person too. Not so much since all of this started, but WhatsApp is a great thing. Communicate on WhatsApp and talk about some of the things that they need addressed in their questions.
Yeah. So Rohan says, we call Laura our American mom. Very, very fortunate to have you as our mentor, Laura.
You're so sweet. Thank you, Rob.
All right. So you have been telling us about being the mentor, and we want to talk about what reverse mentorship means. So can you tell me a little bit about what that means to you?
Yes. I have learned a lot from these students here at ICAR. I've had the privilege of going to class with them and watching them program autonomous vehicles and what that process looks like and the brilliant minds these students have. It would just blow your mind. But anyway, they are working on tomorrow's technology for our mobility. And I learned things from them about the components of AI, like machine learning and deep learning and NLP. And it's just this whole world they opened up. And these were things I heard about conceptually, but when you're watching their work and what they're doing, you start to understand it at a different level.
So they're teaching you things that you didn't know while you're teaching them things that they didn't know.
It's true. There's a constant exchange and I've learned so much from them. And I think it's made me better at my job because I was recently running a hiring process for an engineering position. And it just helps to have more background to understand where they're coming from and what their skill set is on a practical level, not just on paper. When you can see it being carried out in front of you, it's really inspiring and it's impressive.
So I think I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is, like, if you were in a hiring situation where you help people and they're talking about autonomous vehicles and certain kinds of programming and things like that, that you have now a better understanding of the skill set you're looking for because of the time you've spent with these students. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. They've helped fill in a lot of those gaps. And I personally think it's HR's responsibility to look beyond resumes and keywords and understand why you're hiring these people and what it is they're doing. And you have to learn their language. You can't just stay in the HR world. It's very limiting. If you put yourself out there and try to learn, you are such a better recruiter, a better HR manager in general.
So most of the international students you've worked with have been from India, is that right?
Yes, here at Clemson, that's been the case. There's quite a few Indian students at ICAR. I don't know if you know the unofficial name. It's called the Indian Center for Automotive Research.
I didn't know that. Well, it's better than Michigan, right? It's not nearly as cold.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the picture that you that we use to promote this. And you have a graduation cap on your head.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about what was going on in that picture?
I can. So that is Rohan Patel in that picture with me.
Okay. Hi, Rohan.
And Rohan and I met when he arrived here as a student, and there were a lot of interesting twists and turns. He and I used to work for the same organization, and he was on my high potential list to come to the U.S. And I knew that I had heard his name more recently, and I was thinking about it, and then I realized that. So we met and on his birthday, and we developed this friendship. And I was at his wedding in India last year, and his family sent me the sari that I have on in that photo. They sent to me to represent them at his graduation.
Oh, how precious.
Yes, that's my Patel sari, I say.
So there he is sharing his graduation cap with you as you're representing the family.
Yes.
That's fabulous. So you have another young mentee who also mentors you. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yes, I can. His name is Bharath Kumar, Ravi Kumar. And I met him on LinkedIn. And we struck up a conversation. And then he told me one day, I would like to prepare an SEO report for your website. He wanted to show me the search engine optimization, and he wanted to analyze it and tell me what his recommendations were. So thanks to my students who were from his region, I did a little checking first. and then I said, yes, please do that. And so we were talking, and I said, what do you charge? And he said, well, what do you think is fair? And I thought, no, this isn't how you consult. So,
Did you mention how old he was, Laura?
He's 14. He's 14, and he's developed apps, Android apps. He has over 150 IT certifications. He has built an online communication portal for his school so his teachers can exchange marks and communications. And his next venture is to start educating teachers about technology to make it relatable in the online classroom and more interesting for their student audience. Because, you have some different ideas, from older generations to younger, and he wants to bridge that gap.
That's amazing. So he's helping you with your website.
Yes, he did. He helped me with my website. And then he asked if I wanted to work on a project with him. So we have a client in India, and we did his website together. And Bharath did all the technical wizardry on it. And I wrote the content, and we wanted to make sure his message in English was clear. It was concise and correct. So I did the writing for the website, and Bharath did the design.
That's amazing. So let me ask you this. All these students that come here to America, and you are mentoring them and helping them along, what kind of communication do you have with their, do you personally have with their families back home?
I went to India last year. I was there for several weeks. I attended weddings for Rohan, as I mentioned, and the other part of what I call my dynamic duo, Nikhil, and Nikhil's fiance, Ashwathi, lived with us for 2 years. She's a PhD student at Clemson. So I went to these weddings and I met their families. And I think one of the most powerful things that happened is I got off the airplane in Mumbai and Rohan was there waiting for me and his parents. And his father's name is Mahindra. So when I went to meet his parents, Mahindra started speaking to me in English. So he'd been secretly studying the language just to make me feel more comfortable. And I still hardly talk about it without crying because it was so, I can't even describe what that meant, you know, not only to meet his parents, but that someone would do that for you.
Yeah. Well, they're putting a lot of trust in you, you know.
And yeah.
So that I should share this comment from Lindy Chapman, who says, empathy is key. I love Laura's heart for others.
Thank you, Lindy.
A couple more wonderful comments. Kartik says, I second that, what Rohan says. It amazes me how Laura can pull off so many things in her busy schedule. She's very good at understanding our unsaid needs, both as a friend, as an HR, and always available to help.
Thank you.
And Laura Meehan Agassian, is that right?
Yes.
She says, hi, so nice to be here to learn more of what you do for international students.
Thanks, Laura.
Yeah, so lots of wonderful comments. So I mentioned to you when we talked earlier about Rotary and how they do a lot of youth exchange, and typically that's with high school students. But I'm wondering if there are ways that some of our boomers in the audience could get connected or hooked in with you somehow to provide some mentoring, whether it's, you know, how to do an interview here in the US, or whether it's because of their particular profession that they might be able to provide help. So would you have some advice on that?
Certainly, if anybody wanted to help internationals, they can reach out to me and I can get them connected. The issue right now is we don't have a lot of newer students coming in because of the pandemic. I hope that changes. It feels kind of funny not to be running around seeing everybody and working with them. But if people are interested, have them reach out to me. I have some plans for the future that I want to carry out to online to help students.
Okay. So do you have a group or an organization that specifically works in with the students, or is it mostly you?
Yeah, no, there's a network of volunteers that help students, and I would be glad to introduce them to that. There's more than one I'm involved in, but there's a whole group.
Okay, so I've got your email address up here on the screen. So it's LOCONN at PathHRCO. So it's two H's, PathHRCO.com. Yes. So if you're interested in getting involved with helping some of these international students transition well. So Laura, you talked a little bit about helping them with resumes for the US. Do some of these students plan to take their knowledge back to India?
Some of them do. A lot of them have the goal of working here first because they came to study. And a lot of them have work experience when they've arrived. So they've had that work experience in India or China or whatever their home country is. And then they want to carry that forward here, but in the international environment, because it's not only studying, it's working. You learn a lot working in another country.
So, like you learn about the cultural, the communication styles.
Yes, yes. You learn about all of those differences, and your relationship with your superiors isn't quite as formalized as what they're used to. I had a student say, "Are you sure I'm supposed to call my manager by his first name?" Because they weren't used to that at all. So there's things that they have to learn and adapt to.
Yeah, interesting. And plus, I would think it builds their network. So, you know, if they do decide to go back, now they've got an international network.
Yes, and I always emphasize networking, and I'll send out opportunities for them when I see an event that is relevant to them, whether it's industry or it's a peer networking event, which I encourage a lot for them to get out and meet with their peers here. I always share those on my social media page.
So how did it evolve that the interest with the students and the autonomous vehicles, how did that kind of come together?
Well, that's what they're studying, and that I was supporting the ICAR students, and a lot of them are coming over to study different aspects of engineering, whether it's that or it could be industrial engineering, mechanical. Some of them are here to get PhDs. So in India, there are two basic tracks you take. You're either in medicine or engineering.
Is that right?
Yes, yes. Huh. That's typically what, at least for their initial studies. And some choose to pursue business at the master's level, and others pursue advanced engineering, medicine.
That's interesting. I didn't know
science
that.
As well, science is another one.
So can you, would you share with us some of the best experiences that you've had since you started working with the international students?
There have been so many, and I promised some of them that I would keep this edited. when I was in India, you know, you're talking about cultural knowledge, and I've worked across cultures for years, but I've never been to an Indian wedding. So I was there, and at one point I'd been talking to Rohan, and I left, and he graciously had his younger cousins taking care of his American guests because he was so busy. So he organized that so well for us. But there was a ceremony going on downstairs in this hall, and I was upstairs, and I start seeing all these mats being rolled out. And they look like kindergarten nap mats. And I asked the people I was with, I said, "What's going on? What is this?" And they said, "Oh, our weddings are like a marathon. If you're not participating in this particular event, you just rest. You take rest." And I said, "Oh, you have nap time at weddings." I thought that was awesome. So I ran over there, and I get this mat, and I plop down. And I wasn't realizing that they were all men.
On the mats, except you.
So here I am on this mat, and all these men are around. And then I start looking, and my uncle came, and he said, he was teasing me, he was laughing, and I couldn't understand why people were taking photos of me. And then I realized I crashed the nap time for the gentleman there.
Man, that's pretty funny, Laura. What are some other memorable student interactions that you've had?
Oh, gosh. Well, Nikhil, I mentioned him earlier. I guess he's okay with me telling this story, but he had his eyes on a girl at the main campus. And he was telling me about her, and he came to my house, and we would sit up at night and talk about our strategy for him.
For meeting this girl?
Yeah, yeah, to get together with her. So I was at their wedding last year. So it worked out beautifully. And so we, I went to the Saffron Indian restaurant here in Greenville, and I made a video. And I was telling Nikhil, this is the booth where your destiny changed.
Oh, that's great. So you don't only mentor them on work, you mentor them on love too.
Oh, on everything under the sun, they come to me. But I'm laughing, but it's important that they feel they have somebody they can trust to talk to, and that they can be confident to share whatever is going on, because some of it's personal and they don't feel comfortable talking to peers about it necessarily, or their parents, depending what it is. Mm-hmm. So if I can be a sounding board for them and help them, then I've had a good day. That's all.
That's great. So Laura, did you work a mentorship program when you were in corporate world before you got involved with these international students?
Yes, I did. I was involved in setting up different mentorship relationships, and it was the typical mentor usually where it was someone who was more advanced in their career, helping someone new coming in. And then I myself would help the international people I supported think about, okay, you've done this assignment. What are you going to do with these skills you've developed? What's your next goal in the company? And how are we going to help you get there?
So how has working with internationals from way back when you started at Microsoft to the students you work with today, how has that impacted your life?
I think it's been life-changing. My son is a volunteer for an organization called Buddies Beyond Borders at his university. And this is kind of a funny story, but he was helping some international students, and he met another student from Argentina that he really liked, and he was dating her for a while, and then she had to go back, and the pandemic happened, so that has been a setback. But I see how it's impacted my kids, and it's made them more aware, it's made them more compassionate and understanding.
Well, this is really important work that you're doing. And again, if people are interested in helping or getting involved with working with these international students, you can email Laura at the email address on the screen, because I know you said it slowed down now, but there's a lot of need for this kind of support. And
yes, there is. And, we still have students who are here who need our help. There's no question about that. They're our first years and our second years now. It's funny because one group is transitioning out, and then we have the new seniors, I call them.
Well, in fact, didn't you tell me this weekend you were helping people move out?
Yes, I was. I was helping with some move outs.
So not only does Laura mentor with career planning and resumes and interviewing and networking, then she does the love mentoring and she helps them move, sits with them in the hospital for an emergency. Wow, Laura, you are amazing.
Thank you. I love doing it. It's so much fun, and I learn so much, and the families are wonderful. I had families taking me out in India. It's so gracious.
Yeah. So if there were one or two things that you could leave with our audience about the work that you've done or the impact that it has, what would you say those are?
I think a few things. It's important to give yourself permission to always live in duality, because you're always the student and you're always the teacher. And we have to remember that, and we're always learning from each other. And we need to break down these barriers of ageism and where people are from, their national origin. It's just irrelevant, because we're all the same, and we're here to learn from one another. And when you do this kind of work, what I always say is you sign up for the marathon, not the sprint. It takes time to build relationships, and you will get out of those what you put into them. So students are busy. Graduate students are crazy busy. I mean, they're always under the gun for assignments and they have deadlines, but you can find time to help them. You know, you can drop a meal off on their study night and say hello and leave. You know, you can give them that time they need. But it is a marathon. And and I still maintain relationships, close ones, with the first students I met. And they mean a lot to me. All of them do.
Yeah, it's very obvious that they do.
Yeah. And the other thing I would say is always open yourself up to a new connection. Mm-hmm. You might be on LinkedIn one day and somebody might reach out to you and you think, oh, they're in Dubai or they're over there and they're not even in the same industry. But, you know, I just refer back to Bharat Kumar. And first he did a report for me. And then we worked, he brought me a client and we worked together, and I just gave him a new one today here in the US. So always be open, because you never know where that would lead.
That's right. That's right. That's great. And you are a great connector. I mean, you have brought me several people that have been wonderful connections. So I appreciate you for that.
Oh, glad to do it. Yeah. I love connecting people. It's kind of a passion of mine.
Yeah. Well, you're good at it. Let's see. We have another comment from Rohan. He says, Laura's work is a great effort in direction of connecting cultures of different countries and connecting people worldwide in many ways. And we've had so many wonderful comments here, Laura. People that you don't know loved your story about the Indian student with the photo, Rohan. Other people have said, yes, they have, where was that? Millennial students, and you definitely can learn a lot from them. And other people saying hello. So thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you, Wendy. I appreciate your time and being here. It's been great.
It's a great story. I just wanted to mention that Hey Boomer is now available on some of your favorite podcast channels like Stitcher and Apple Podcast. So if for some reason you aren't able to listen live when you're out for your walk or exercising, if you want to just pop in a podcast, you can listen to us that way. So that's nice. And the Shot of Resilience. Let me just share the screen. So if you are interested in that Shot of Resilience course that I mentioned that my friend is giving, the website link is on the Hey Boomer page. So you can go there and sign up and enter this coupon code EARLYBIRD so that you can get the $100 discount. I know it's going to be a great course. And tell you about my guest for next week. She's a very special lady. Her name is Bonnie Silberman. And Bonnie is the owner of Geriatric Resource Services, which is a private aging life care practice providing elder care consultation to families and older adults. I asked Bonnie if she would talk to us about our mindset and how we are going to deal with the holidays coming up, Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, a lot of us have traditional celebrations that we have always done, and they may look different this year. And so how to make the best of that how to have the most positive mindset you can have, and to, you know, recognize the feelings of sadness that may also be part of that. So please join me for that. I know it's going to be a really important, meaningful conversation. And I always like to end my program with a quote from C.S. Lewis, where he reminds us that you are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. Thank you for joining me today. I am so grateful for all of you. This has been a wonderful program, Laura. Thank you for your insights today.
Thank you.
And my name is Wendy Green, and this has been Hey Boomer.